This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support. So the legalized composting of human corpses and putting them into the food supply is no longer science fiction, in case you aren't aware of the facts here. Washington State has passed a law that allows human, you know, dead people to be flushed down the drain, essentially. They call it recycling. And after it gets flushed down the drain, it goes into the biosludge supply, which is, of course, spread out on farms in the countryside around the cities. This is a practice that's done in every city in America. Every single city, without exception, does this. And even many smaller towns as well. So this is a way of taking humans and putting them into the food supply, and then you will eat those foods that have been, quote, fertilized with the dead human corpses, which are incredibly toxic because they have a lifetime of accumulating all the toxic heavy metals that are in the food supply, you know, from eating ocean seafood and so on. But this podcast isn't even about that. I just wanted you to be aware of that as a background context issue. Because there are people who still don't know. Most people don't know anything. Most people are completely uninformed about reality. So the average person, you walk up to the average person on the street, or you're having dinner with a family member, you're like, yeah, they've legalized composting human corpses into the food supply. And they will look at you like, where's your tinfoil hat, right? That's just because they're ignorant. They don't know that this has been legalized. In fact, it's being celebrated. This is a Green New Deal for human composting, right? It's celebrated. You can find all the articles on this in the Seattle Times, I think, and different newspapers, liberal newspapers are all like, this is awesome. We should compost all the humans. This is great. It's recycling. We can reuse the dead corpses. Of course, they don't talk about the biosludge angle because they're all in denial about that, because they have to deny reality. Otherwise, they can't live in their little delusional bubbles. So then they never admit that that's what's going on, that is going on in the food supply, which is just incredible. The average environmentalist has no clue how the environment actually works or any of these practices. I mean, a typical environmentalist isn't even aware of GMOs. It's just incredible. They're just completely clueless. All they care about is carbon dioxide, which is actually real fertilizer for plants. But the environmentalists think carbon dioxide is a poison. So they have anti-knowledge, is what I call it. They don't even have any real knowledge. They have anti-knowledge, which is the opposite of knowledge, the opposite of understanding. They're like the alternate universe of non-understanding and non-knowledge. Anyway, with that as background, I wanted to cover here today the fact that there aren't enough cemeteries in the world to handle the flow of dead, of corpses that the globalists are planning for humanity. And this is why the human corpse composting had to be legalized, and this is why Washington State was chosen as the pilot project to make it legal, get a lot of positive press, and then spread this to other states. So soon you're going to see California and Oregon and New York and all these other liberal states legalizing the Soylent greenification, you might say, of human corpses. Now, this is necessary because, of course, most of the deaths that are coming are going to happen in the liberal cities. That's where the population densities are the highest. You're going to see millions dead in Los Angeles, for example, and New York City and San Francisco and Seattle, and even a lower number in Portland, Oregon, and places like that. And these deaths are going to, it's inescapable for the reason I'll explain here. Now, I've covered this quite a bit more recently. This has become apparent in looking at what the globalists are doing and analyzing their intelligence signals and what they want to see happen, and basically just what they're admitting right out in the open now. And I'll make this summary quick since I've covered this before. But of course, the globalists believe that Earth is not sustainable with the current global human population of 7+ billion people, 7.5 billion, whatever it is now. The projections are that the human population would grow to 20 billion people by, I think, the year 2050, depending on which projections that you look at, or maybe even 2040. The globalists have decided that that's not sustainable, that that would destroy all the global ecosystems. And whether you agree or disagree with them is irrelevant at this point. They've decided that human populations are actually the biggest threat to the planet. So they have initiated, and this started several years ago, but it's accelerated, they've initiated their plan to annihilate most of the existing human population. So they want to kill roughly 90% of existing humans. And that's, you know, we could say it's 6 billion, but it's actually more than 6 billion. It's more like, you know, 6.75 billion or whatever the math comes out to be. But at these numbers, you know, I mean, this is a Holocaust times 1,000. They want to kill billions of humans. And they think that that's going to save the planet. So that's the agenda that they're operating from, whether it's 6.1 or 6.8 billion, really doesn't even matter to them. They just want to kill billions of people to, in their mind, save the planet. And this is why they push these things like the Green New Deal. Remember, Ocasio-Cortez is a puppet. She was selected for her theatrical capabilities. She doesn't have a brain. She's illiterate. She's an idiot. She was a bartender. But they had tryouts for that congressional district, and she was the tryout that was the most animated, that they thought could be the most persuasive to the illiterate youth of America who are on social media. So she was selected, and then she was given everything to say. The Green New Deal was constructed for her by, you know, the George Soroses and other globalists of the world. And that Green New Deal is designed to collapse the human food supply and cause mass starvation and mass annihilation across the planet. But I don't want you to think that this podcast is all doom and gloom, because it actually isn't. Really, what I'm here to say in this podcast is that there's a way to navigate this. Now, let's be realistic. You can't stop this from happening. And I can't either. We're way beyond that point. We can't stop this. The globalists have made their decision. They put things in place. They have the biological weapons ready. They're pushing the collapse of the food supply, the dimming of the sun through geoengineering and changing atmospheric chemistry. The terraforming has begun. And they're pushing the culture wars. They've whipped up hatred. You know, they're going to push America into a civil war. No question about it. They're going to cause international war. That's part of the plan. None of this can be stopped by us. We don't have the power to stop it. But what we can do is we can survive it. And what I mean is this global culling of humanity. Think about it. They want to kill 90% of the human population. Well, that means that 10% are going to survive if those numbers are accurate. Of course, these are just very rough estimates, but let's just call it 10%. For simplicity's sake. So 10% survive. That means that all you have to do to survive this is outlive 9 morons who are illiterate, uninformed, and live in the cities. And frankly, that's not hard to do if you're not already more capable than 9 other people. In other words, if you're not already in the top 10% of people who are able to survive and able to adapt, then there's something wrong with you. I mean, being in the top 10% of humanity today barely takes a brain, because most of humanity is so incredibly stupid. The average IQ of the world is 82. And the average IQ in countries like India and most South American countries is like 68 or something. These people, I don't even know how they manage to tie their own shoes sometimes. You know, there aren't actually very many smart people in the world. And so just the fact that you are informed and that you're able to think for yourself, that you're a critical thinker, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this, that you have an informed view of the world already puts you in the top 1%, not even to mention the top 10%. Now, it doesn't mean that you have the survival skills necessarily. That's something that you have to teach yourself. And you might need survival supplies. You know, do you have a plan to survive the global culling of humanity? Are you ready to do that? Well, so then we get into survivalism. which is actually really important for all intelligent people. How do you survive? And even that is not very difficult. It's actually simpler than you think. Here's why. First of all, most of the deaths are going to happen in the liberal cities, because the most likely weapon system that's going to be released to accomplish this global depopulation effort will be a biological weapon. So biological weapons will be contagious by design, and they will spread among people who live in high-density areas with low public health standards and low sanitary standards. Well, what areas is that describing? Oh, San Francisco, Los Angeles, filthy streets of Seattle, homeless and drug needles and feces everywhere. Gosh, is that not a perfect storm for the spread of infectious disease? So when the globalists release their biological weaponized viral system, whatever it is, I don't know if it's like Ebola version X or whatever it is. It probably won't be Ebola because that kills people too quickly. They want something that kills people more slowly over time, that can have symptomless carriers, as they're called, who can spread the disease and accomplish a very high saturation rate among the population. So it's not likely to be Ebola. It's actually likely to be a binary weapon system. And by that, I mean, I'm getting off topic here, but just in case you're curious, a binary weapon system would be a viral strain that sets you up to be killed by a vaccine injection that activates that virus or adds to it in a way that is fatal. So it'll be a binary weapon system. First, they'll release the virus, but the virus alone may not kill anybody. And then they'll say, oh, there's a pandemic, everybody go get vaccinated, and they'll have vaccine mandates. And then everybody who gets vaccinated is dead in 12 to 18 months. So that's kind of the most likely binary weapon system that they would choose for this. And this is why they're pushing the vaccine mandates so aggressively now. And by the way, even the people pushing the vaccines, most of them have no clue that this is happening. So they will be killed too. They'll line up to get vaccinated, and they'll be dead in 12 to 18 months as well after this binary weapon is released. In any case, most of the deaths will occur in the cities, because that's where the people are, and that's where the conditions are ripe for the spread of infectious diseases, and even conditions for the mutation of the biological weapon system. So understand that once the globalists release their biological weapon, they can no longer control it. There will be what's called natural selection viral mutations happening in the wild. This happens all the time naturally in influenza. This is why every year it's a different influenza strain or a different bird flu strain. It's, you know, H9N1, H5N3. What they're describing is protein receptor sites on the outer shell, you might say, or the outer boundary of the RNA of the viral strains. Those are different protein configurations, and they mutate all the time, and they do it in the wild. And even if you release a biological viral weapon system, it will mutate. And it will mutate in a way that follows, you know, survival of the fittest. So whatever spreads the best and infests people the best, whatever's the most successful will become the mutation. And that could be something that goes way beyond what the scientists ever planned. In other words, they may be releasing a biological weapon that gets out of their own control. This is something to be concerned about. Maybe they're trying to kill 90% of the population, by the way, which is difficult with a virus, and they end up killing 96%. You see what I'm saying? Or maybe they try to target 50% with a viral strain, and then they expect maybe the other 40% to die from mass starvation and economic collapse and strife and civil war. I don't know. I don't know what their death chart looks like, because I haven't seen it. But the point is that their death chart is just a wild guess. They may actually kill a lot more people in many different ways beyond what they had ever supposed. Just keep that in mind. Nevertheless, back to the surviving of all this. Just getting out of the cities vastly increases your chance of survival, because the cities are where the deaths are going to be most prominent. Even on a per capita basis, I'm not talking about just raw numbers of people dead. Of course, that would be in the cities. I'm talking about the percentage of people killed, even in the cities, will be higher, because cities are difficult to survive. Cities, I've often said, are artificial constructs that depend on outside supply, you know, external inputs of food, water, electricity, and fuel, and other resources as well, medicine, for example, antibiotics, things like that. Lacking those resources, most cities collapse into third world status virtually overnight. For example, this was talked about in a Civil War article by Matt Bracken. If there's a civil war, patriots who wanted to defeat, let's say, Los Angeles, which has become a rogue anti-American you know, domestic enemy city run by treasonous traitors, all they would have to do is take out the power substations outside the city. And in fact, there's one substation that powers the water supply for the city of Los Angeles, because that water is pumped over a mountain into the city. And without that water, of course, Los Angeles collapses into chaos virtually overnight. So imagine Los Angeles without power and without water. At that point, the police basically just turn in their badges and go home, because the police can't do a damn thing compared to the criminal gangs that are in control at that point. And Los Angeles just becomes basically, you know, Escape from New York, the first movie with Kurt Russell. Except you can't escape because it's, you know, 200 miles of desert and nobody has any water. You get my drift? So get out of the cities before all that happens and you have a much better chance of surviving. The second thing is just having some basic supplies and understanding that most of the deaths will occur within the first 90 days of the activation. So when the bioweapon is activated, whatever that activation time is, if it's a binary weapon, it might be 12 months after the vaccines begin. Who knows? But whatever the activation date is, once things start killing people, most people will be dead within 90 days. And this came out of a government report that looked at EMP weapons and a solar flare Carrington event, the collapse of the nationwide power grid. And that report estimated, if I'm remembering correctly, I think 80 to 90% die-off, I think it was 90% die-off of the United States population within 90 days. And most of that die-off, by the way, well, there were three causes, I think, in the report. That was starvation, disease, and murder. So, you know, you've got social chaos, you've got the collapse of the food supply, food deliveries are halted, then you've got disease outbreaks from lots of causes, you know, lack of sanitation, lack of running water, all these kinds of things. Plus, then you've got the violence in the gangs and people raping and pillaging and looting each other for food and people shooting back, you know, with 100-round magazines and things like that. So you end up with a 90% death rate in 90 days. So the, I almost hate to say, the silver lining in this, if you will, I mean, the reason I'm talking to you about this is because all you have to do, I mean, this is coming, okay? You can't stop it. I can't stop it. It cannot be stopped. This is coming. They're going to do it. But all you have to do to survive this is really two things. Get out of the cities before it all comes down. And secondly, plan to live 100 days. If you can live 100 days, you've pretty much made it. I mean, sure, you'll still have to have a way to grow food beyond 100 days. You know, you'll have to have a way to defend yourself. You'll have to have a way to protect yourself from the infectious disease remnants that are lingering in the system. But if you can make it through the first 100 days, you have already survived beyond the timeline where most people are dead. And the biggest threats against you in this scenario are actually other people. It's other people who will try to steal your stuff, will try to raid your house, will try to shoot you or, you know, pillage your home or your business or whatever the case may be. It's the masses who are the biggest threat to you. And those masses are gone in 90 days because the globalist bioweapon system eliminated them. So if you can make it through the first 100 days, you are actually going to do well. And isolation is actually the best strategy to do this. And I don't mean just by yourself. You might have a group of 10 people. And in fact, small groups actually have a much higher survival percentage in all of this. But isolation, meaning you don't go into the cities, you don't bring back those infectious diseases, that you aren't dependent on the power grid, that you don't need external food. You are isolated. I guess maybe a better term is self-reliant. So you're off the grid, man. Your group or your family or your, I don't know, neighbors, or maybe just you and one other person, if you can swing that. It's harder to survive with just two people. It's better to have three people. It's better to have five people. But if you can survive 100 days and isolate yourself from this mass violence and the infectious diseases, you then have a real chance at being part of the future of human civilization. So I want you to keep all that in mind. There's some dark times coming, but you can make it through. In fact, all you have to do is be smarter than 9 out of 10 people, which is not difficult. You're already there. All you have to do is put some plans into action. And I'll help you as long as I can, as long as I'm online. I mean, they're going to try to take me offline in every way possible as all this is happening. So there'll be a day I can't share any information with you anymore. That's why you should download my podcast now. You can listen to them after the fact. But I'm going to be surviving, and you can too. And I'll share as much information as I have, intelligence or practical survival strategies and tips, even self-defense tips, through my podcast. And you can hear all my podcasts really in two places. One is you can go to Brighteon.com, and my channel name there is HR Report, which stands for Health Ranger Report. Or you can hear my podcast at HealthRangerReport.com, or you can go to NaturalNews.com and look for all my podcasts on the right column of the homepage. There are new podcasts there every day, typically about 2 new podcasts a day in a video format, but it's just a podcast with a still image on it. So check all that out. I'll do my best to help you. And until then, just survive. Thanks for listening. Take care. We can make it through this. Be safe. Before we get into the next segment, reminder that this is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. We have a fish oil alternative for those who don't want to take in fish-based products, many of which are heavily contaminated with mercury. We have a product called Ahi Flower. It's made from plants, and it's a fish oil-like supplement with many of the same essential fatty acids and the same beneficial effects on your body, but it's made from plants. It's lab tested for heavy metals, glyphosate, and microbiology to make sure it doesn't contain E. coli or salmonella or anything like that. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. It's good for your health and it's clean.